Let's hold our Bibles up high and say it like we mean it. I'm going to bring the Word of God today to you, to myself, and we want to receive it. I believe the Bible is God's Word. Inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative, relevant. I will, by God's grace, obey it and apply it to my life today. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Over the last year, we've been assaulted by an unprecedented level of stressful life events. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Most recently, we've endured a brutal winter storm with widespread power outages. Our world has seen the unleashing of a deadly virus known as SARS-2 or COVID-19. As Americans and Christians, we've seen an assault on our God-given First Amendment rights to freedom of speech, freedom to peaceably assemble. Our basic rights surrounding freedom of religion have been infringed on. We've witnessed our foundational right to have our vote counted undermined by corrupted voting systems. As a result, we've witnessed the seizure of our government by radical, left-wing, anti-Christian, anti-life, anti-American politicians. More than ever, we need to encourage one another. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Everybody just take a deep breath and let it out into your elbow. You got it? We need to love and encourage one another. I saw this last week when I set out as my mission to text, to call the families of our church. And as I approached 100 families, I said, thank you, God, for growing our church in the middle of all this craziness. And for God and His economy, there are no limitations. I remember when we were entering into the faith campaign, you know, I've got two of the most godly parents in the world, Jim and Caroline Nyberg, and they love the Lord, and they love me, and they supported our planting of these many dozens of churches over the decades. And my dad and mom confided in me after I shared with them months ago what God was laying on our hearts to do here with the faith campaign. They later on, they said, we got to confess, son, we wanted to speak out and say, you do realize we're in a pandemic. You do realize that we are in uncertain times. But they said we bit our tongue because we didn't want to squelch your faith. I said, thank you. Because if I learned faith from anyone, it was from my dad and my mom. And I thank God for those of you like Brett that shared, you know, not everybody has a father and a mother that instills faith. And yet, we are not victims. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen? That was a great word from both couples today. We are encouraged and encourage one another when we embrace and share God's love and plan for our lives. What I'm desirous of today, I don't know if you're like me, very much so sleep deprived, no power since Sunday all the way through 5 o'clock Thursday morning. Thank God those of you that had, what they call it, the roving outages. Some of us were without power, and I'm sleep deprived, so if I say anything that is not rational, you can chalk it up to sleep deprivation. But I am so thrilled at the privilege to bring this message, because what God laid on my heart last week was, you put a comma in the Faith Builder series. You pause the Faith Builder series. We've been doing messages about faith, building our faith to be all that God wants us to be and do all that He wants us to do. And Jeff, I want you to talk to my church about love. about loving one another, about encouraging one another. And that's what this message is about today. So I just want us all to take in. As I've been preparing this message over this last week, it has been speaking to me. It's been ministering to me. So the first point that I want us to really take in is that we are encouraged and we encourage one another when we embrace and share God's love and plan for our lives. I would like to invite you to turn to the person next to you, look them right in the eyes, and say, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That was pretty good, but not good enough. Turn to the person next to you, or the other side of you, and say, look them right in the eyes and say, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, turn to your family member, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter. Turn to that family member and say, God loves you. And after being with you in that house for a week, I'm trying. Jeremiah 29:11. It's a favorite verse of apostate pastors in our country. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future. Apostate pastors around our country for decades have grabbed a hold of that promise. They've grabbed a hold of that promise and many others made by our wonderful, wonderful and awesome God. But the problem is they spout off those feel good, those prophesying only that which is good, they've forgotten the kind of conditional part of it. So when this was made originally, it was given to Jewish exiles who were in Babylon, not on vacation, but they were in exile because of God's judgment on their sin. These sinning exiles needed to walk through God's 70 years of judgment in order to repent so God could return them to Judah and do what? Bless them. Bless them before they truly repented or after they repented? After. See, we've had a churchianity in our country that's been all about blessings, your God-blessed life, your best life now, all this stuff, but they never, ever, ever read the Word of God and reflect it as God gives it. That there's blessings for obedience and cursings for disobedience. And you want God's blessing, then repent and turn to God. Here's what I'm thinking, church. I'm thinking our country right now is in the hellhole it's in because of our sin as a nation. Because of the corporate sin of the modern day church. Is there any doubt in any of your minds that we are in Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church? Is there any doubt? When you have these prominent mega church pastors come out and they speak these words of nonsense, you have celebrity status Christian artists coming out with racist ideologies, and we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. I tell you, we will be encouraged. And we will encourage one another when we embrace and share God's love and plan for our lives. God's love and His plan for our lives involves obedience. And we can be encouraged. I'm going to tell you right now, if you will surrender, Christian, your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not just your Savior kind of thing. Yeah, Jesus, I want you as my fire insurance. Yeah, Jesus, I want you as my Savior, but I don't want you to be my Lord. But congregation, if we will truly surrender, already continue to surrender for some, to the lordship of Christ and obedience to Jesus Christ, I declare to you, God's got a great plan for you. And God's got a great plan for me. And God's got a great plan for this country if enough of us will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And let me tell you where it needs to begin, like the Apostle Paul said, in the house of God. It's got to begin in the church. I encourage you with the fact that we may have to go through a time, brothers and sisters. It could very well be part of God's plan. Follow me on this now. It could very well be part of God's plan for us to get this Christian life building up during a time of pandemic is not only so we can spread out more, right? But it could very well be that this will be used as an instrument of God to take care of persecuted Christians in this unprecedented time of lawlessness that is descending upon our country right now, and the attack towards good Christian people. Not just in our country, this is a worldwide thing going on right now. Anybody hear recently about the pastor arrested for simply preaching the gospel? You heard about it. They put a man of God in jail for preaching Jesus. This was up in Canada. You say, oh, that wouldn't happen here. Oh, really? Just remember back a few sermons ago, the last several months, us crying out to God on behalf of godly pastors in California who were being threatened. And one pastor had $1.2 million, almost our entire campaign, $1.4 million. This church had $1.2 million in fines from a tyrannous government trying to shut them down from doing church. Could it be, congregation, that part of God's plan is not only a place for us to be able to spread out and reach more people for Christ, but maybe, just maybe, this is going to be a building one day that will house spiritual refugees. People in my sleep-deprived state, when you can't sleep at night, your toes are cold, and you're saying, okay, Lord, you're talking to the Lord. It's a good thing. How many of you prayed more this last week? Yeah, I know you did. And I did too. And maybe, just maybe, this will be used. You ready? Maybe we need to be thinking in terms of being prepared, more prepared. Maybe something like this can be used as a place. Ready for this? If people lose their heat, their electricity, maybe we can figure out a way with God's help to have a backup generator to know that we've got a safe, warm place for people to come if there's some kind of a thing. I'm thinking they showed a few little safe places where people could get warm, and I'm thinking, man, I'm up here every single day this last week trying to thaw frozen limes out, you know, and hoping not to flood the sanctuary or the office building up there, the farmhouse. And I'm like, we don't have enough power to thaw it out, but I know I got to thaw it before it hard freezes. Because otherwise, when the power really comes back on, you know, in earnest, it's going to really thaw, and then we're going to flood. And it's like, maybe God, I'm just thinking, but maybe God would, he's got a whole different plan than we have. You got to listen to me on this. His ways are high above our ways. And I don't know the mind of Christ, but I seek to know it, and I know you do. Listen, when your pastor came up with the crazy idea and said to you that the Lord Jesus answered my prayer and told me how we were going to keep church open during the pandemic when 94% of the churches closed in the U.S., you know what you did? You prayed. You said, yeah, pastor, we know you're crazy, but we believe you heard from Christ. And you followed the lead of your pastor. And what did God do? He grew us spiritually, numerically, and financially for us to achieve reaching more people for Christ. Amen? Well, what about this? I don't know. But maybe, just maybe, this will be used by God in some bigger way than we can even wrap our mind around. But I'm going to promise you right now, if you are arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you lose your job and you're a hard worker, not lose your job because you're a lazy bum. If you lose your job because you're a hard worker, and the only thing you want to do is be a loving witness for Jesus Christ And I'm not talking about being an idiot standing on your desk and with a sandwich sign, burn in hell, heretic. You need your meds. But what I'm saying is, if you're arrested, you're fired or you're arrested, you lose your job, they confiscate your bank accounts, you go, oh, they wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, I don't see myself as a prophet, but sometimes I think God is prophetically speaking some things, and are we listening? So where I'm going with this is, I don't have all the answers. I may be a few steps ahead of you in finding out what Jesus wants for his church. What I'm saying is, he may have a lot bigger plans than we can think of. And I want you to know, the plans God has for us as we surrender to God, we surrender to the Lordship of Christ, here's what should encourage us, is his plans are for good. Look at some more scripture there under that first point. You're saying, yeah, we're going to cover one point today. But anyway, we got seven. We are encouraged and encourage one another when we embrace and share God's love and plan for our lives. Look, we got it. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's for us, church, as we obey the Lord. Look at that next verse. Oh, I love it. You can quote it. John 3:16. How many of you are glad for that verse? Say amen. Amen. God, for God so loved the world, agape. You hear me talk about this. You may hear it in your life groups. There's agape. That's self-sacrificing. That is completely something given and expressed towards another without any ulterior motive. It's a self-sacrificing love. And when husbands, you ready? Ephesians 5:25, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's agape there. But there are two other types of love that, you know, is in the New Testament and written in the Koine Greek. There's eros, that's that marital intimacy. You know, code language, parents, but that's that marital intimacy, that's eros, where we get our word erotic. And then you have phileo, where we get the city of what? Brotherly Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love, phileo, is a friendship kind of love. But the love that's talked about here from God is that God so agape'd. God so loved the world, not the world system, but the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Talk about a beautiful message that should encourage. You ready? How many of you have your faith in Jesus Christ alone to forgive you of your sins? Hold up high both hands. You're all charismatics. I just saw you do it. Both hands went up. And I'm saying that should encourage you. That should encourage me. That's part of God's plan and his love for you and for me. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love. What kind of love is that? That's agape again. His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, literally while we were enemies of God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. That something has happened in my heart. I remember when President Obama was elected, I went through a time of despair and depression, and it had nothing to do with the pigmentation in President Obama's skin. It had everything to do with his corrupt, evil policies. And I'm not afraid to say that because I'm a prophet in the sense of proclaiming the truth. But anybody else go through a time of depression? Let me see your hands. You remember back that far? He was our constitutionally elected president, and therefore he was my president. And I did, in obedience to 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, I entreat you, I exhort you to pray for what? For kings. Well, we're not supposed to have a king here, right? We fled England for that. But for kings, or ready? For all who are in authority. And what? Ultimately, so that what? We may lead quiet and peaceable lives. And what? That God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you what started happening in my heart. Because I prayed daily for that constitutionally elected president, I began to feel agape love for what I felt to be the worst president in my lifetime at that time. Now watch, you can have your opinion as to whether or not you felt he was the worst president in your lifetime or not. That's okay. We can agree to disagree, but I'm telling you for point of illustration here, this is important, church. When I prayed for him daily, let me tell you what I was praying for. Oh God, save him. Oh God, please. Save him like you saved me. Because what happened was when I started really thinking about it, we all, before Christ, we were all in a position of being enemies of Christ. We were enemies with God. While we were yet, Christ died for us. It puts a whole new spin on it. You got to hear me. I'm trying to encourage you. You got to hear me. So I began praying for that man, our president, President Obama, pretty much every day. My heart began to change. Now look, I hated his vile, wicked, murder babies kind of policies that led to abortion just spreading like wildfire. I hated his policies, but something was happening. I was beginning to feel an agape love for that man. Because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, that we are in a spiritual warfare. And he says specifically that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, obviously against Satan, right? So our enemy was not Obama. Our enemy is Satan and his demons, right? People are just pawns. So what happened, and it was hard for some of the people at the time, Christians at the time, when I would lead them to pray for him, they would just almost start shaking and throw up. And I said, no, you don't understand. The praying is not just for him. The praying is for God to have his perfect work in your heart. In my heart. If you agree with that, say amen. Okay? So, we've got to pray. And as we pray, we realize that ultimately for us as Christians, our ultimate goal and why we're left here is to bring people to the what? The love of God through Jesus Christ. Our ultimate goal is to make disciples for Christ, right? So what that does is it helps get us past some of our painful patriotism right now. It helps get us past that enough when we understand how God looks at this. God wants to do a work in us. God wants us to love, agape, love people. That's what this stuff is all about. This is just a tool to love people, give them the gospel, right? So, what do we want? And yes, you're right. We're only covering one point today. Some of you are thinking, man, we got discovery. We may have some leftover refreshments out there. I got to see how Susie's house is. Is it flooded? But really for us, what are we doing? We want to not only encourage one another in the church, right? But we want to bring the love and plan of God for the life of them heathen, which all of us now who are in Christ, now we all at one point were in the heathen category. Or as a dear friend of mine says, there are saints or ain'ts. We used to be ain'ts and now we're saints. And we're supposed to love. We're supposed to love. Agape love. And we want to bring that plan. We want to bring the love of God. You see, I think ultimately God's plan for all human beings would be for them ideally to embrace his love and forgiveness and to surrender willingly to him and to be saved. How many of you believe that that is fundamentally the most important thing that we can do to bring this nation back to the great nation it once was? Let me see your hand. It's true. So we covered one point today. You guys didn't listen quick enough. I love y'all. Now, what's going to happen? I just want to point out, there's a few people in here that are going to say, Pastor, you should have preached on. You should have plowed through all 7 points. And yeah, I guarantee you, you're not brave enough to raise your hand right now. Clint, you did, but you were in the back, so no one could see you. Oh, anyway, I love y'all. So let's try to wrap it up. We covered today 3 verses, Jeremiah 29:11, John 3:16, and Romans 5:8. And I do think it's interesting that in the John 3:16 passage and in Romans 5:8 passage, that really incorporates the invitation we make every week at our church, right? One of the invitations is to people maybe that you've invited, we've invited that come to church or watch this on YouTube or Facebook or, and it's what? It's an invitation for somebody that doesn't know Christ yet to get saved, to get their sins forgiven, to be rightly related with God, right? To go from the enemy status against God because of our sin over into the friend of God category through faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, right? And it says in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him, in Christ. Remember John 1:12, but as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Even to those that believe on his name. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know all your sins are forgiven, I'm asking you now, today, before this service is over, receive Christ. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's just do that. If you're listening to this over Facebook or YouTube or from your car, under the awning, here in the sanctuary, in the foyer, whatever avenue you're listening to this message, if you know and you know that you know that you need your sins forgiven, you know that if you die in your sins, you will go to hell for all eternity, and you don't want to go to hell, and you don't want to be separated from God, you don't want to be an enemy of God, then receive the gospel, the good news, the love of God. Here it is. God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago. And he lived a perfect life in thought and action. And he never, ever, ever sinned. Something you and I can't claim because we've all sinned. And we all fall short of God's glory. And what Jesus did was at 33 years of age, he allowed himself to be crucified, to suffer and die on the cross, to pay for your sins and my sins. And the sins of the world. The Bible says whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call on the name of the Lord today? No matter what your background, no matter what you've done, Jesus paid it all. He stands ready to save you, to forgive you, and to impart in you eternal life. Will you receive him now? You say, how do I do that, Pastor Jeff? The word of God is very clear. You just need to call on the name of the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Christ, pray this prayer of faith. And in doing that, you'll be calling on the Lord. Say something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. Right now, I ask you to take away my sin, Jesus. Jesus, I ask you to give me eternal life. I'm trusting in you alone to save me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around. If you just prayed that prayer of faith and you meant it, raise up your hand right now. Raise it up high. Did you do that today? Is there anyone? God bless you. Put your hand back down. Is there anyone else? Maybe you're under the awning and I can't see you, or in your car. If you receive Christ today, I want to invite you to let me know. Contact us if you receive Christ today through Facebook Live or YouTube. Let us know. We'll send you some information that will help you grow in your newfound faith. Now, Christian, the invitation to you and to me, to us, is God is calling us to love and encourage one another more than any other time. We need it, and those Christians around us need it. So let's resolve in our hearts anew and afresh to do just that. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful church that you had, that you have started and you continue to bless. We pray now, as tithes and offerings are taken up, that you would bless the gift and the giver, and continue, Jehovah Jireh, to provide for your church. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said,